Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A couple of weeks ago, I started something and I called it Protecting Your Inner Life. And I want to just shift the title of that. Looks like it's going to be somewhat of a series. And I want to call this Inner Health, Inner, I-N-N-E-R, Inner Health. Outer health, I think we understand that. We take better care of ourselves now than we used to. I looked at lifespan 50 years ago. The average lifespan 50 years ago, men and women, this is an average, because how many of you know that actually women live longer? That was a good chance for you ladies to go amen. But average lifespan for an American in 1974 was 71.79 years. In 2024, the average lifespan is 79.25. That's an increase in the last 50 years of 7.5 years. If you go back about 75 years, it's an 11-year difference. So we're taking better care of ourselves. We've made advances in medicine. We've made advances in understanding and how to take care of our outer bodies. I thought it was interesting that I began to look up factors involved in longer life. And again, talking about outward health, they did a study in 2004 of what they call blue zones. This is not political. This is blue zone. It's an area what they're looking for, centenarians. Centenarian is an individual that lives to be 100 or more. And they found five areas in the world where the chance of an individual living to 100 years or older was 10 times greater than the average for the United States. And so they begin to, they call these blue zones. I think there are more than that now. This was a 2004 study. It was done with National Geographic. And it's interesting where they were. They were all over the world. I think there's one in Okinawa, Japan. There's one in a town in Italy, Sardinia, Italy. There was one in Greece, one in Costa Rica. And I know this will bless you Texans. None here, Texas. It's actually Loma Linda, California. For those of you who are online and from California, we really are a loving church. The groans expressed here do not necessarily express the beliefs of the pastor and his staff. The Loma Linda actually happens to be the home of the Seventh-day Adventists. Anybody Seventh-day come up with Seventh-day Adventist background? Anybody in here? We usually have one of everything. We got Seventh-day Adventist background, they live longer. That city, that area, lives longer than any other city. It's one of the blue zones. And what they've determined is because of their faith, their faith-based community, they don't smoke or drink. Isn't that right? Is that right? A lot of them are vegetarians, which immediately lets me out. They're big on volunteerism, and they take the Sabbath. And so there's some factors. And what they started doing is they started looking at factors, what influences. So I thought this was going to talk about the Bible. I won't get there. But there are five key factors that influence our outer health. And here's the thing. Outer health and inner health are related, and they're similar. You know, our bodies are a pattern. The Bible talks about the inward man. And that we're spirit beings. And so, but the five factors involved with why people live longer in these blue zone areas. One was diet. They ate a lot of veggies. Like I said, you know this couldn't have been Texas, because it's like, what? No, they ate a lot of veggies. But also, I thought there was something that one of the blue zones have, what they call the 80% rule. In other words, they ate till they were 80% full. They never got completely full. Just a thought. Exercise. They said more natural movement than pumping iron. Natural movement, walking. They walked a lot of places. They walked, they gardened. but they did more what they call natural movements. Purpose. Why I wake up in the morning. They found that the people that lived longer had a real distinct purpose in life. Relationships. 258 out of the 263 centenarians that they studied were in a faith-based community. Only five that lived to 100 were not a part of a faith-based community. And so that idea of not just hanging out, but who you hang out with is something that contributed to long life. And then they had less stress. They're finding stress-relieving strategies. And so I think they mentioned the Seventh-day Adventists that they pray, that they take a Sabbath. And so these are five of the key factors why people live long. Now I'm going to take that and we're going to talk about inner health, spiritual health, learning to take care of our inner lives. And this is something where I don't know that we've given it enough attention or we treat it like, that's just church, but not realizing that we are spirit beings, we have a soul, we live in the body, and that they are connected and that they are important. And the Bible talks a lot about what to do with our inner life. And in Proverbs, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart, and we can say guard your inner life with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So it's out of our inner man springs love, springs faith, comes strength. And so this is the spark, this is where the spark of life, this is something where even scientists can't understand where the spark of life comes from. It is out of our spirit, that we are spiritual beings. And because we're spiritual beings, it just, people say, well, you know, my spirit's perfect. And no. Our spirit talks about we can grow. It talks about we can be weaker. We can be stronger. And so we want to be able to take care of our inner life and pay attention to our inner life. We've learned that if we take care of our bodies, they last longer. Athletes last a lot longer now than they used to. And they've learned how to take care of themselves. And so what we're saying is that we learn to take care of ourselves spiritually. There's some huge benefits involved. In Proverbs 18:14, look at the scripture. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? That when we're strong spiritually, even dealing with adversity is going to be our capacity to deal with adversity is better when you're stronger spiritually. Have you ever had one of those days, and a friend of mine, Keith Moore, mentions this. He said, have you ever had one of those days when you wake up and you look at the garage and you go, I'm going to clean the garage? How many of you know you are stronger on that day than you are when you walk out and look at the garage and go, whew, not today? Stronger to be able to tackle things, stronger to be able to deal with things, stronger to be able to handle harder things better. And so the idea behind this is that if I'm stronger spiritually, if there's spiritual health in me, then it's going to enable me to deal. It doesn't mean that the problems of life won't come my way, but it does mean that my ability to handle them would be enhanced. And if I can get better, if I can get stronger to handle what comes my way, then even though I don't stop it, I'm going to be better. I could ask for this, and you don't have to have a show of hands, but I bet there's many of you here that said, you know, I handle things better now than I used to. Amen. Have you ever gone through a situation and said, man, I thank God it happened now, because if that happened 5 years ago, there'd have been some carnage. It had gotten bad real quick. But thank God it didn't get bad, because it's not because the situation changed, it's because you changed. And when you change, then our ability to deal with the situation gets better. And so let's talk about what we can do. So I'm going to take those five factors that contribute to long life or a healthier life, and let's talk about them from a spiritual standpoint. How about our diet, what we consume? 1 Timothy 4:6-7, Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. He's right. Timothy, by the way, was a young pastor. He was in Ephesus. He was in Ephesus. They say the church at Ephesus was huge. And Timothy is the lead senior guy there. He said, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished. The word nourish, you look it up, that's what it means, nourished. Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you've carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. We're talking about nourishment. We're talking about what you consume, what you don't consume, and exercise. Now, all of these things are spiritual. He's not talking about exercise yourself toward godliness. You can't go to the gym tomorrow and someone say, what are you doing? You're like, I'm exercising myself toward godliness. That's not what you're doing. You're working out. But exercising yourself toward godliness is different. But he said, nourished in the words of the faith. So what can nourish us? What we consume, nourished in the words of the faith. Here is good nourishment. This is real good stuff. This is, for those of you who are digital, this is a Bible. I like this one better. I'm very digital. I got all kinds of digital stuff. I love technology. I'm wonderful on it. I like this one better because when I read this, I don't get notifications. No one interrupts me when I read this with what they had for breakfast. This is good stuff. And so this will nourish us. It's time we stop looking at the Bible as a duty and stop looking at it as necessary food for our inner man. There's time, I talk to people about reading the Bible and they're like, okay, here he goes. He's going to talk about reading the Bible again. If I talk to you about eating food, you're like, oh, yes. Let's talk about eating food. No, let's just talk about eating spiritual food that will nourish your inner man. And if our inner man is stronger, remember we talked about if I'm stronger on the inside, then my ability to handle stuff is better. You know, your ability to handle your marriage is better if you're stronger spiritually.
Amen.
That's four amens and a grunt. Your ability to handle your marriage. People say, well, what do you do to them? Did you enjoy going to a lot of marriage? We took some marriage classes. We did that. The thing that helped our marriage more than anything else is both of us grew spiritually. That's what helped our marriage. That's one of the key things that helped it. And so this will nourish you. Diet is what you consume. Diet is also what you don't consume. I grew up in the South. My parents were both born in Alabama, raised in Georgia. My mother could cook, and I loved fried chicken. In fact, in the South, we know how to fry about everything. Because nasty stuff tastes good if it's fried. Okra tastes good if it's fried. Okra doesn't taste good any other way. And if I could have figured out how to fry spinach, I'd have been all for it. I love fried foods. But there came a time when I had to reject fried foods. And I love fried, man, I used to like Kentucky Fried Chicken, original recipe. And where I grew up, we had a place called Popeye's that made spicy fried, man. And I love, fried chicken is good. And I have rejected it because my stomach would reject it right now if I ate it. But after I realized, do you see those screens right there? If I eat everything I want to, that screen's not wide enough to hold me. So after a while, you start looking, okay, if I want to live long, I can't eat fried chicken all the time. I'm gonna reject that. My mother came to see us years ago, and Joy used to make me breakfast when I was in sales, and I'd get up and I'd leave and I'd be traveling somewhere, and she would make me breakfast. And listen to what she'd make me. She'd take about two eggs and she'd put cheese on it and then sausage patties and put it in a sandwich. But that was good. And my mother came and saw eggs and sausage and cheese. She said, you're trying to kill him. Which Joy probably agreed to. Yeah, this was early on. Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. And she realized, for cholesterol, I can't eat that stuff. And so there's some things I have to reject. If you're a healthy person, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to stay fit, I'll tell you something. People get really serious about what they eat and what they don't eat, which is fine. But we also need to be serious about what we consume in our inner man and what we don't consume. Now, Paul told Timothy, he said, you need to reject profane and old wives' fables. You go, well, I don't look at profane and old wives' fables. I wouldn't even know what an old wives' fable was. But look at when you dig around a little bit, here's what you find out. This is interesting. You know what profane means? The word is one that was used to describe someone who was barred from the entrance to the temple. Something that was profane was considered unholy and was not supposed to be allowed into the temple. So he said, reject things that shouldn't be allowed in the temple. Hey, do you realize there are things that should not be allowed into this temple? Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And there are things that just shouldn't be there. And I know everyone gets quiet when I talk about this. But there is stuff that just shouldn't be there. It is not helping you. It is hurting you. And old wives' fables, you say, well, silly myths is really what that's about. Now, you may think, well, you know, come on, Alan. You're getting legalistic. I'm not getting legalistic. I'm talking about inner health. I'm talking about what helps us and what hurts us. Right now, they say that Generation Z, those born after 1996, they've just done a recent study that said they're the most pessimistic group. Now, if you're here and you don't have to group in with this group, but I'm just talking about as a whole. They're the most pessimistic group in the view of what they feel like the future holds for them in America and what they feel like government will do for them. They're pessimistic. They don't believe they'll ever catch up with their parents where they are financially. They're not getting married. They're pessimistic. But do you also understand that this is also the generation that was raised on the internet? And this is the generation that was raised with social media. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. Some of that stuff is not helping you at all. It's not helping you. And so, it's like I'm not going to do a boomer rant. This is a pastor rant. This is something where you got people who are just scrolling hours and hours of stuff that is not helping them. There's things we need to consume and things we need to reject. You know, let me encourage you. You know, the Bible talks about fasting. Fasting is when you stop doing something, like maybe you don't eat for a couple of days, or you fast desserts or sugar or something. Here's a fast that you will find challenging. Fast the internet for a bit. But here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you. I do it occasionally. I'm not doing it all the time. But I'll just go on an internet fast. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself clearer, because you're not consuming stuff. And you're certainly staying away. And some stuff is just silly myths. And some stuff is profane. And the internet opened up the world of profane, unholy, to all of us. It's there. You hear?
Amen.
If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you this. But these are things that... These are things we have to be aware of, and we have to go, you know what? For my inner health and peace, I can't do this. A good checkup is after you have just watched something for a while, check yourself and go, how do I feel? Feel energized, or I feel like the... My concern with social media is it brings such comparisons into our lives, that no longer are we comparing ourselves with just a small group of friends. Now we're comparing ourselves with just all the people all over the place. And I know people who have left ministry because they felt so inferior to other people because of what they saw on social media. So I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you have to throw your phone away and that you can't be on social media. I'm just saying watch what you consume, because it's not helping. We talked about diet, let's talk about exercise. You say, great. These are just two things that really bless me, Alan. You know, like, I know. Exercise, you saw in that last verse we read where he says, exercise yourself toward godliness. Exercise involved, now here's some exercises you may not have thought about were exercises. Exercise involves what we choose to think about. Here's Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren and sistren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, that means right and proper, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything that is praiseworthy, if there's any virtue, that's moral excellence. And if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So Paul, he's done this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's given us a list of things, a checklist of thoughts. And he says, meditate on these things. And if you don't think that discipline yourself to control your thoughts, if you don't think that's an exercise, you ain't done it yet. But to try to control your thoughts and to begin, and I've heard people say, Alan, I can't control my thoughts. No, you can. You need to, don't even buy into that lie. It's your mind, and you can control what's going on in your mind. Amen. Don't let anyone, including the enemy, tell you, well, you just can't help it, and this is just the way you are, and you were born this way, and you have to think this way. You do not have to think that way. I didn't say it's easy. But when are we going to give up looking for the easy path and realize if life is hard, I've got to be harder. Yes. Life is tough. I have to be tougher. Listen, Christianity is not for the weak. Christianity is a strong man's religion. It is a strong woman's religion. It is a strong way to live because you're saying no to the things everyone else is saying yes to. You're controlling thoughts when everyone else is living in a fantasy world. You're doing things differently, but we have the capacity to do it. And we're trying to protect our inner life because if you can't protect your thoughts, your inner life's in trouble. And your inner life just... Listen, as a pastor, I am concerned. I'm concerned about how the lines of reality are being blurred so quickly that people don't know what's real and what's not. And so we're going to have to begin to say, listen, I've got to control, but this is the one thing I can control. I can control my thoughts. And I went to, before I was a believer, and when I was a bad believer, I went to bars. And bars, a lot of bars have bouncers. Some of you might have been a bouncer. Some of you might have been thrown out by bouncers. They don't look sanctimonious there too for a second. But a bouncer, if you were the wrong kind of person, the bouncer would, you would open the door and you go, hey, can I come in? The bouncer would look at you. He might go, no, you can't come in. Or if you slip in between it, yeah, you get in. But a bouncer would look and go, no, you're not coming in. Or, yeah, you're coming in. Someone said this and I agree with them. We need a bouncer at the door of our mind. So when the thought comes and goes, I'm an ugly thought, you go, nope. I like lovely thoughts. You are ugly. No. I'm an impure thought. No. I'm a thought that has no moral excellence to it. Not. No. And we begin to control thoughts. That's not easy, but we're not looking for easy. We're looking for strength. We're looking for healthy. And I'll just say this, and I used to tell this to my kids growing up, and they know it, they've heard it before. I said, you want to be strong? I said, strength attracts, weakness repels. We need to be strong, not so we can attract people to us, but so we can attract people to the one who saved us and redeemed us and washed us. This nation, this community, this culture needs strength. And we're the ones to bring it because we have the capacity. This is going to be a series because I got through about like a third of my notes, but that's your fault. Y'all listen too good. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your mercy and so grateful that in these times you give us truth and you give us wisdom and you give us help. Father, I pray for everyone here and everyone listening, Father, that we can be serious about our inner health. You are real. Spiritual things are real. Our inner man is real. And we want to take care of our inner man that we might be a light and a blessing to the people around us. Thank you for that. So, Father, I ask for your grace and mercy on us. Help us. Help us know what to do, what to reject, what to receive, what's helping us, what's hurting us. We ask you for your grace and mercy and wisdom. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and you said, you know what, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord, or if I did, I'm not sure about it, but I want to be sure, we're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up, not going to have you come to the front, but if that's you and you're saying, I want to make sure I have my relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to him, would you pray for me? Slip your hand up just real quick across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thanks. Yeah, got you. In the back, thanks. 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 All right. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. Thanks. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. You can pray this prayer. Listen, we're going, if you're online, you can pray this prayer. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who've come to you and who've come back. We rejoice with them. We remember and never, ever want to lose sight of the fact that you have forgiven us of our sins and we are saved. And we're thankful. So we pray for them. We thank you for them. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.